Welcome to the Gospel Rain podcast, part of the teaching ministry of Dr. Matt Brown and Dr. Micah Carter. We're glad you've joined us today for gospel-centered conversations of two like-minded pastors who want to see the gospel of Christ reign in the hearts of God's people. We would love to hear your feedback and your questions. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/gospelrain or go to @gospelrain on Twitter. We hope you will find gospel-centered answers to your questions about theology and the Christian life. And now, we welcome you to the Gospel Rain conversation.
Hey, thanks for joining us again for the Gospel Rain podcast. We're glad that you're back with us. I think this is like episode 38 or something like that for us. So this is really cool. We're having a good time on the Gospel Rain podcast, talking about a lot of things, dealing with theology and the Christian life. And so it's been a lot of fun. But anyway, I'm sitting across the table from Micah today. We're going to talk about a topic that's very sensitive. It can be a sensitive subject, but I think it's a good one to be a really healthy subject for us today on the podcast. It's the subject of singleness. Now, I was once single. I'm married. I've been married over 20 years now. Micah, how long have you been married?
19 years.
19 years. Mm-hmm. But we were both singles at one time. But we know that as pastors, this can be, because we've counseled with a number of people who are single, who come and say, I'm single, and I don't know how to deal with that. I don't know how to deal with this biblically. Am I supposed to be looking for a spouse? Am I supposed to be single the rest of my life? What about the desires I have to be with somebody, and yet that desire keeps going unfulfilled? How do I deal with this? And so we've had to talk to people as pastors who deal with this, but we wanted to relate some of these things on a podcast and hopefully be able to encourage some others out there who may be single, who may be married but yet have somebody in their life, a friend, a family member who is single and is struggling with knowing how to deal with this issue biblically and theologically. So, Michael, let's jump right on into the subject of singleness and sort of get us started with some of the things that the Bible teaches us about singleness. Many people may not know that the Bible deals with this issue,
right?
It deals with being single.
Right.
And so help us get started into what the Bible says about it. Is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? What do we believe about it?
Yeah, actually, singleness is kind of multifaceted. In the New Testament, you have some people who have never been married. You have some people that have been married and divorced and are now single again. Right. And then you have people that have been married and lost a spouse, widowed or widower. And so, you know, this is a reality. People in the kingdom of God and people of God in the church. In one of these aspects of singleness, there are many people that this is their season of life. And, you know, it can be a burden for many people, you know, who especially, as you mentioned in the opener, just to say that they don't desire to be single. They would rather be married. Right. They desire companionships and other kind of things. And so does the Bible say anything? Does the Bible help us in this way? Yeah, I think it does. And a couple ideas to kind of get us to the main text, which is really 1 Corinthians 7. But let me just mention that Jesus had an interaction with some of his disciples on the issue of divorce in Matthew chapter 19. And he takes kind of a hard line on divorce in that text, and his disciples basically say, well, if this is so serious, then it's better to stay single, is what they say.
Right, right.
And here's what Jesus' response was this, let anyone accept this who can.
Hmm.
That's what he said. He's saying, you're right, boys, stay single.
Hmm.
And then he talks about a really weird word, a person called a eunuch who has either wasn't born with kind of the physical parts to reproduce, was castrated, or was living that way, as Jesus described, because of the kingdom of heaven.
Hmm.
And so Jesus was a lifelong single. I think it's important for us to remember that. He was never married. This was his experience as a human being on earth, as a single. And so he tells his disciples, some of them that who were married, he says, yes, marriage is serious. So if you can remain single for the kingdom of heaven, do so, because it's going to be beneficial not just to you, but also to the kingdom. Scripture also goes on to say through the ministry of Paul and his writings that singleness is also privileged in 1 Corinthians 7, that he tells the singles that he's writing to in the church of Corinth to remain as you are, stay single. And there's lots of reasons he gives. We'll talk about those in just a minute. That's not to say he's unconcerned about the way people feel, about their desires. He addresses those in 1 Corinthians 7. But at the basis, he's trying to say, listen, God is working certain ways through certain people. And if you're in this season of singleness, you can do some important things. Now, especially for those who are widows, who have lost a spouse, young or old. I mean, what a burden to carry. I mean, you pastor widows, I do as well, who have lost spouses. And there's a lady in my church, and she lost her spouse, I don't know, 16 years ago or more, and every day is as fresh as it was. And she can't get past that. And I've got a friend who married young, and not long into their marriage, he was tragically killed in a car wreck. She has remained unmarried, and I think not because she's not interested in marriage, but she's just chosen to give her life to different things at this point. And so, but for widows, you know, one of the things that Paul says and reminds Timothy to say to widows in their season of singleness is simply this: trust in the Lord. You're already dependent upon God, but really depend upon God. Trust in Him. And he says to the younger widows, don't be drawn away by the desire to, don't be drawn away from Christ, he says, by the desire to marry, which I just find is a very interesting approach for the Apostle Paul to take, don't you? So Jesus says, if you're single, accept it. If anybody can accept it, accept it. Stay that way for the kingdom. Paul, the Apostle of Christ Jesus, says, if you're single, remain single, and don't be drawn away from Christ by desires to be married. And you and I are looking at this thinking, well, gosh, if these guys were preaching today, they'd be run out of town on a rail.
That's exactly right. You're insensitive. And I'm married. It makes me think, wait, you know, what did I do wrong, you know? But I like the fact that you can see all through Scripture in the New Testament that not only are there hints of singleness, there are direct commands dealing with this.
Yes.
And so it really sheds a lot of light on the subject matter, particularly for those who may be struggling with the issue to say, okay, all right, it's in the Bible. It's all over the Bible.
Right.
And so now I need to go to these passages of Scripture. What is it now that the Lord may be teaching me personally about this through these Scriptures? But we just simply want people to know that Jesus taught about it, Paul taught about it. It's clear that it is something given in the Bible as something that is actually to be preferred.
Yes.
In many instances, what Jesus was talking about, what Paul was talking about, it's a preference. It's the preferred thing.
It is.
In some instances.
And Jesus can say this coming from the position of singleness. Paul can say this coming from the position of singleness. So it's not just that two married guys are saying, hey, stay single, it's better for you. That's not it. These are singles that are ministering to singles with some very biblical counsel. Now, let's spend a little bit of time in 1 Corinthians 7, because of all the chapters of the Bible, this one right here says the most about singleness and how to think through it. So if we're kind of doing just a basic breakdown of the text, in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says in verses 8 and 9, both to singles and to widows, he says, remain single, unless you lack self-control. And then he uses the phrase, because it is better to marry than to burn. To burn with passion, he's saying that if you have a driving desire to be with someone physically, sexually, Paul says, let me tell you something. That's a God-given desire. You make the most of it. Go on, get married. Because you don't need to go off into fornication. You don't need to be just racking yourself with all the burden of this physical desire unfulfilled. So if you are burning with passion for this, then you go get married. Okay, that's fine. Go get married.
That's a good point. If you do not have, he says in Christian Standard, if they do not have self-control, then they should marry.
Yeah.
Now, I think this, let me just say, I think this passage can speak a lot to the dating relationships of singles too.
Good.
Oftentimes, those who are dating, who are looking for companionship, whatever, who are single and don't want to be single anymore, oftentimes, unfortunately, are putting themselves in tough positions in their dating relationships where they're pushing the boundaries of sexuality and those kind of things and going as, you know, the proverbial question that many young people ask, how far can I go without sinning and that kind of thing.
Right.
And so this speaks a lot of it. If you constantly find yourself putting yourself in a position to burn with this kind of desire and this kind of passion. And if you're tempting yourself this way, then that would be a good word of caution. Don't continue to put yourself in position to do that.
Right.
Now, if this comes through, normal relationships with friends and outside of the thing, you burn in your heart to have a companion, to be with somebody, then follow through with that.
Yeah.
But if you're putting yourself in position in bad spots to burn with passion like that, then that's an area of temptation you need to walk away
very
from.
Very well said. And, you know, the Lord has designed, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, that marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. So he's not downplaying singleness, and he's not downplaying the God-given desire to be attracted to someone of the opposite sex, to really fulfill this through creating children and some other thing. All of that is tied up into God's plan. We understand that.
Right. He wired us that way.
That's right.
He wired us with hormones
and
emotions, and that's the way we're designed.
Made us male and female, and even said in the creation that it is not good for man to be alone. And so he creates a companion for him. So all of that sets the context for what you and I are trying to wrestle through in the burden of singleness. Because we understand it's not good for man to be alone. And God created a companion for him. And yet we can, as you say, in the dating relationship, we can get all sideways, wrapped up in emotional and, frankly, hormonal situations we ought not be in because we placed ourselves there. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. Now, if we're continuing to go through 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 through 16, Paul addresses married people. We have our own burden to bear. And he says, if you're married, remain married. Even if your spouse is an unbeliever, he says, stay together if possible for the sake of the gospel. Peter says the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 3, that you might win over your unbelieving spouse by the way that you live in the gospel. And so, in other words, when Jesus comes into your life, remain as you are to serve him as you are. If you're single, go full on into the gospel following Jesus. If you're married, and even if you have an unbelieving spouse, keep going in the gospel together. So verses 17 through 24 of chapter 7, he says, each one of us should remain in the situation of life the Lord has us in when he called us. He says it three times, which you and I know as Bible student. If he's repeating himself, there's an emphasis here.
That's right.
So he says, stay in this. If you're married, stay married. If you're single, stay single. Then he returns in verses 25 through 40. He returns to singleness. And he says, look, marriage is good. It's obviously, it's not sinful. It's God created design. But it does bring about different concerns for you. He calls them troubles. Now, I'm going to be very careful. I love my wife and been married 19 years. But he's right. There are some troubles and some burdens in marriage that in many ways can be hindrances that singles don't face. And so I think Paul's trying to give a holistic view. Is like, look, I understand you've got the emotional, physical drives and desires, but I want to show you something more of what the gospel can do in a life of singleness and through a life of singleness.
Wow, that's really, really helpful. I think sometimes we get driven by just the desire to have companionship.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul is saying, okay, look, it's bigger than that. The picture is bigger than just having a companion. There's much more to this issue of marriage that you need to be aware of. And I think that's very helpful. And I think this is sort of drawing us into a little bit to say, look, it's not just an emotional thing. All right. It's not just a sexual thing. It's not just a relational thing. There's much more to this. And we laugh a little bit about where Paul would say there's a lot of trouble in marriage. And, it's interesting that he's saying this from the outside looking
in
as a single man.
Exactly.
Because like any single people do, and like any married people do, we can look into the lives of some married couples and go, wow, man, they're struggling, man.
Yes.
They're struggling hard.
Yes.
They got problems. And, and, you know, Paul saw that kind of stuff in married couples to say, look, let me just shed some light on this. I can see from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
That there's problems.
Yeah.
There's troubles in marriage.
Yeah.
And he's not lying either.
He's not lying. You know, and look, it sounds negative, and I don't think it's meant to be negative, but really there's a transfer of one set of problems to another set of problems.
Sure.
Singleness has its own burdens, its own troubles. Marriage has its own burdens and its own troubles. And quite amazingly, Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit, inspired to write what he wrote, he says it's better to remain single.
Mm.
Now, you know, because I think singles, you know, if you're just at that place where you want physical companionship, all you can think of, I'm going to get married and we're going to spend all day in bed. No, you're not. Okay? Let me just break the real truth to you.
Exactly right.
Not going to happen
that
way.
It ain't going to happen.
It's a minor fraction of a whole life of other things taking place in your life. It's wonderful, and it's a blessing, but it's a blessing that comes with marriage. With a whole lot of other burden on the other side of it.
That's right.
So let's say some of the things that Paul says. For example, in verse 28 of chapter 7, he says to singles, "I'm trying to spare you. I'm trying to spare you." What a pastoral counsel that he might. I'm trying to spare you because verses 29 and 31, he says, "Time is limited. The world is passing away. Listen, I want you to be without concerns," he says in verse 34, "because when you get married, you have divided interests." Mm. In other words, Christ could use you as an instrument of the kingdom as a single person easier and better and more profitable than a married person who has the concerns of his spouse and his children in his heart.
Right.
He has to.
Right.
Because once you're in it together. And I think verse 35 is really key for this conversation of singleness. He says that I'm saying this to you for your benefit, not to restrain you or to hinder you. If you want to get married, go for it. Seek it out. Glorify God in it. Go on and be blessed. But consider your singleness now, and here's what he says, that you may be devoted to the Lord without distraction. Devoted to the Lord without distraction. If we can bracket off, and we need to talk about this pastorally, Matt, if we can bracket off for just a second, loneliness, sexual desire unfulfilled, if we can just bracket those kinds of things for just a minute and hear Paul's apostolic pastoral counsel saying, it's better for you to be devoted to the Lord without distraction. If you can get a handle upon these things, and I believe there are ways to do this, we need to talk about this, that Paul is saying you're going to be more devoted and more able to serve the Lord without distraction. He goes on to say, and we'll finish up this and we'll put some practical teeth into it. He says in verse 36 and 38, marriage is fine. You're not sinning if you marry, but it's better if you don't marry because you're more devoted to the Lord. Verses 39 and 40, if you've lost your spouse to death, you're free to marry again. Of course, a believer, Paul uses the term in the Lord. If you find someone to marry, but in verse 40, he says again, and I believe this is spirit-led, thoughtful counsel. Paul says, even to the widow, you are happier to remain as you are as a single. And I think this goes back to Matthew 19 when Jesus says, let anyone who's able to receive this receive it.
Right.
If you're not able to receive this and you're like, you know what, that's not for me. I really need companionship and I'm burning, man. I gotta get a spouse. Then by all means, glorify God and get married and serve Him the best you can as a couple devoted to Him. Mm. I want to throw this to you, and then we'll because I think you've got a lot of pastoral wisdom here. This is good. I mean, this is truth. This is God-inspired truth. But we've got to put some practical teeth to this, okay?
Right.
So we've got listeners that are single. We've got friends that are single, family members, that if they're sitting across the table from us right now with a cup of coffee, they've got all kinds of questions.
Yeah.
Okay, but sure. Well, how do I do this? What do I do with this? Mm. Let's begin to throw out maybe some practical advice for those that are in this season, whether widowed or single, unmarried, that they're sitting there thinking, well, then what do I do if I'm not currently married? And he's saying it's better for me so that I can be more devoted to Christ in my singleness. Then let's answer two questions, Matt. How do we do that with these desires? And then what do we do in our devotion to Christ that might be useful as a single?
Well, I don't want this to sound or seem insensitive because this is one of the things that Paul's actually saying here. Is that someone who is single actually will have more time and more resources to be able to devote to the service of the Lord. Now, I don't want that to sound insensitive to say, well, if you know somebody out there that's single going, yeah, what do you think? All I got is time? I'm not busy?
right.
No, we understand that single people are busy too. I mean, they're juggling all kinds of stuff and spinning plates like everybody else is, and they have a lot of responsibility. So it's not to be insensitive. But Paul is simply saying here that what you talked about in verse number 30, I believe it's verse number 35, where he says we can be devoted to the Lord without distraction. There is in a sense, he's saying there is less distraction in relationships. Doesn't mean you're not going to have a job that will distract you and all kinds of other things, but simply the relationship aspect of not having another person in your life that you have to account for,
right,
and another person in your life that you have to give 100% of yourself to.
Right.
He's saying you can live life and to be devoted to Christ without that distraction. Mm. Right now, my wife and I, we love each other more than the world, all right? But I know this from her perspective. When we wake up in the morning, she's thinking about me and her. She's thinking about what I've got to get done, what she's got to get done. She's thinking about when she gets off work today, what she's got to do for me, what I've got to do for her. She's thinking about two different people. Now, this is not accounting for our four kids and three dogs, right? I mean, she's accounting for all that, too. But just me, she's concerned about me and my day and my life and what I've got going on in my calendar and all these other kind of things. So those things we might say in Paul's terms would be a major distraction. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not necessarily a bad thing. We're not saying it's bad. We're just saying.
And let's add to this, because you're exactly right. In a marriage, I think Paul's point is when you're married, the way that you serve Christ is often tied to the way that you serve your spouse.
That's exactly
right. I mean, and so in other words, the focus is not Christless. You're just, your focus then becomes taking on a different relational fulfillment.
That's exactly right. So my wife and I both can be devoted to Christ and love Christ and serve Him and all that, but we have other people to account for. And so, and that's my calling. God has given me a wife. He gave her to me, and He gave me my family.
Yeah.
That's God's calling on my life. But when it comes to singleness, Paul says you can be more devoted in certain ways without distraction. So if you're single, use that. Use that time. Use that time that you're not accountable for somebody else, and throw yourself into the service of the Lord to say, Lord, where do you want to use me? Where normally maybe a man and a woman are, that are married may have the distractions of each other. Lord, what kind of, quote, distraction would you put in my life? Where would you have me put my time?
Yeah.
And we can do that in all kinds of ways. I mean, there's singles in our churches. And I, and particularly, there's a story of a young lady who was a member of my church years and years and years ago. And I remember talking to her, and she had a great, great heart for the Lord, but a great concern for her single status. And she really wanted to have companionship and wanted it to be Christ-centered, but was struggling for a while, number of years, without having someone that she could love Jesus with, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a real struggle for her for a while. But for that period of time that she was single, man, she poured her life into Jesus, and she served in the church, and she was doing all kinds of... Now, God eventually brought someone into her life, and she is now married and has kids. And but she learned that that single part of her life was not just a holding area.
Right.
And I think that's very important.
Right.
Don't, if you're single, don't see singleness as just a holding area.
Yes, that's good.
That okay, you gotta bear with this for a while. This is just your lot in life for the next few years. But God's gonna bring you somebody.
Right.
There's
right.
a good chance if this is our scriptural instruction here. There's a good chance God has not intended you to get married. There's a good chance God has intended for you to stay single.
Yeah.
So don't see all of life ahead of you. See it as life to be used right now, to live it now for the glory of Christ. Not wait till I get a husband or a wife that's going to love Jesus with me. Love Jesus now with all you've got.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And if we just take Jesus and Paul, which we have used their texts today, to think about as a lifelong single, never married, think about Jesus had friendships with both genders. He had his disciples, which were male, but he also had groups of women following him that he loved and that he spent time with and that they shared life and they served together. And you know, I think you can look at Jesus and say he served the Father unhindered because he had no family. The Son of Man has nowhere to place his head,
that's right.
This kind of thing, but he did this. Paul, the same thing. Now just put Paul's life in context as a single. He raised up disciples. He had Timothy, Titus. He had a group of people around him all the time that he's pouring into. He planted churches. Paul led missionary campaigns. I mean, we read the book of Acts. We know his whole life was missions. That's what he did. He suffered physically for Christ in many ways because he had the gospel and the spread of the gospel in his life. And here's the thing. He did all of this without family concerns. And I think, you know, I was reading a little bit about John Bunyan. I'm going to be talking about John Bunyan next week in a sermon I'm preaching. And John Bunyan was married. His first wife died. We don't even know her name. He never mentions her name. He remarried a second time, had children, and then he was put into prison as a pastor. He was not going to bow down to the king or the pope, and he was imprisoned. And he voluntarily chose to stay in prison for about 12 years for the gospel. And he said one of his children were blind. They came to him, and he just felt like every time that they visited the prison, it was like the flesh was being torn off his bones, is the way he described it. And he had this burden of these concerns for his family like this, and yet he still served Christ. But it was always before him. He was always torn with trusting Christ in the gospel. In prison and being torn with, I've got a spouse out there, I've got kids out there, and my heart is absolutely broken and divided for those things and the burdens. Paul never had that. He never had any concern. He could go to Rome with the execution lying before him for Christ in many ways, unhindered, without worrying, well, what's my wife going to do?
Right.
You know, I think about if I die today, my kids and I talked about this the other day. If I'm driving home from Boonville, having studied scripture and ready to preach, because I go to Boonville oftentimes in a coffee shop and study, and I'm in a head-on collision, and how are you going to process that? I worry about what are my sons ready?
Right.
Is my wife going to be taken care of? And these are just appropriate burdens that we have to think about in the married life. But a single can go unhindered from those things.
That's right.
And serve the Lord. So it's not a holding. You're not in a holding tank.
Right.
And you're not, life's not on pause, and you're not incomplete.
That's right.
You are complete.
That's exactly
go
right.
Go serve him.
Man, speak to that. Micah, we were talking a little bit about this before the podcast. Now, I want you to get into this. You gave some really helpful things earlier, and I think there were three or four things that you mentioned that you would give, and we'll talk a little bit more, maybe some more practical things that you know, people might have questions that they might have. What do I do with my life when I'm single? Where do I go? What do I do?
Yeah.
But give us some of these helpful things that you talked about a little bit earlier about our identity. Let me say this first. I think one of the things that's important is that we should understand that our identity is not wrapped up in our marital status.
That's great.
You know, just because you're single, your identity as a single person ought not be wrapped up in the fact that you're a single person.
Yeah,
in the same way, me being married, that is not my identity. Now, I'm happily married, but that's not my identity. My identity comes from somewhere else. God has saved me, created me, saved me, gifted me, and it's not just about my marital status. So understanding that, help us understand a little bit more about singleness.
Yeah, and you said it. Our identity is being found in Christ. And I think, you know, I wish someone would have said this to me as a single. I don't ever recall hearing this. Maybe you did as you were in the single life as well. I don't ever remember anybody saying to me, you are complete in Christ. Whether or not you ever get married, whether or not, you know, what you are complete. You're found in him. That he is your identity and you're complete. So the marital status is an accidental to who you are in Christ.
Right.
I mean, like you said, I'm happily married too. I love my wife and we're growing together in the Lord. But if I wasn't married, I'd still be complete. I'm not incomplete. And, you know, I think a lot of times you and I talked about this as well before the podcast, that married couples really put singles in a precarious position by always asking them, when are you finally going to get married? When are you going to get married? And that's just not a helpful
question to keep
throwing on people.
It's the same thing as asking a married couple, when are you going to finally have a baby?
Exactly.
And that couple may have lost three babies, and you don't know that. And so you're adding burden to them. Same way with a single person. Don't ask, when are you going to finally get married?
Yeah.
That may be a really big burden for them.
Yeah.
It's very insensitive.
How about coming alongside a single and saying, tell me what the Lord's doing in your life. What's the Lord, you know, how's he growing you? How's he shaping you? How's he directing your life? Is he putting a vision before your life on how you're going to serve him? And really really position our singles for success in the Lord in a better way to say, you're complete in Christ. How's he using you? What's
good.
He teaching you? How's he growing you? So I would say, you know, first that we are complete in Christ. And, you know, I like to alliterate. So I would also say that we have a companion in Christ. Hmm. The Bible describes him as a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You know, he's with us. He promised to never leave us as orphans. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the age. This is what he was saying to his disciples, and that applies to us too. He is with us.
That's good.
Holy Spirit, he's going to give to us. He said that my Father and I are going to come and make our home within you.
Mm.
And if we never have a physical companion in this life, and I'm talking about a spouse,
right.
We have the Godhead abiding with us. Jesus is our companion. Think about this too, in the moment of temptation, and singles face a lot of different temptations, I know. But Jesus said, it is said this way in Hebrews chapter 4 with reference to Christ, we do not have a high priest, Hebrews 4:15. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin.
Mm.
Now listen, I would never in a million lifetimes want to ever imply anything that Jesus was sinful, because he's not. But here's a single man who surrounded himself oftentimes with prostitutes and tax collectors and thugs and drunks and everything else.
Right.
Don't you think Jesus was tempted? Of course he was.
Absolutely.
Yet he remained without sin. And I think for a single to remember, if Jesus is my companion, and he is, and I'm complete in him, that in my moment of temptation and my struggle, I'm going to pray to Jesus and say, I know you know how I feel, Jesus. You know how I feel. Help me in this day with this feeling, with this burden, because you've been tempted as I have. And I'm going to trust you to help me through this, and if need be, provide a way of escape, as Paul said to the church at Corinth. The last thing I would say, as a brotherly counsel maybe to singles in this season of life, is to find our contentment in Christ.
Mm.
Contentment. To really, he's our all in all.
Mm.
You know, he's our all in all as a married person. He's our all in all as a single person. He's our all in all as a widow. He's our all in all. And that I can find contentment. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Well,
that
good.
I can be found content in him, whether I'm well-fed or hungry, whether I'm rich or whether I'm poor, whether
right.
I'm married or I'm single, that I've found the secret of life is that I can do all things in him, that I'm content in Christ, and that you know, all things being considered, that when we stand in his kingdom, that marriage is going to be a non-issue in the kingdom. But Have I found rest in Christ? Am I complete in him? Is he my constant companion? And have I found contentment in the good days and in the bad days, the seasons of struggle and the seasons of blessing, the seasons of great temptation, the seasons of victory and freedom? Have I found, and can I say, that Christ, my constant companion, that I am resting in him, I'm content in him.
Man, that's good.
And that if he brings me a spouse, wonderful. If he doesn't, wonderful.
Wonderful.
I'm going to serve him with unhindered devotion. And here it is, that we have to, as a single person, we have to come to grips in our life with, am I running forward with Christ unhindered, or am I really, are these burdens, I mean, is the burden to marry a burden companionship? If it's so overwhelming, Paul would say and Christ would say, well, by all means, find a spouse.
Right.
And get married and serve me. Jesus would say, serve me together. Devoted to one another as a picture of me and the church, and do this for my glory. But if you're single, remember, you're complete in Christ. He's your companion, and you can find contentment in Christ, even in the midst of temptation and struggle and burden. What
man,
would you add
that's
to that,
good.
Matt?
Man, that's helpful. Golly, that's helpful. That's good stuff. I would say, too, for those who are single and who are maybe trying to now basically, after everything you just said, say, okay, all right, I got that.
Yeah.
I understand now. I've been taught now that who I am in Christ is more important than who I am in on paper as a, you know, married or single. So that's more important to me. Now what do I do with that? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways that you can serve, same way that everybody else serves. It's no different. We don't want to compartmentalize people and say, well, all the married people over here can serve, and all the single people over here can serve differently. No, we can all serve the same ways, but you might have more time and less distraction as a single. So serve the Lord. Serve the Lord through the local church.
Yes.
There's all kinds of ministries in the church you can get involved in. their mission opportunities within the community that you may can devote some time to, that maybe the, and I'm just speaking from experience, the married couple with four kids that are driving all to all the ball games and trying to get everywhere, you may not have those burdens. And where that married couple can't get involved in that mission project within their community, you can.
Right.
So involve yourself in a mission project and, and work through the local church.
I also add there, in a local church, don't think about missions necessarily outside the local church.
Right.
But maybe it could be, as a single, that your passion for missions, your ability to serve, that you can be a catalyst within a local church to mobilize that church toward missions.
That's exactly right.
And you
can
lead it.
That's exactly right.
And bring people with you.
That's a good point. Take the reins and try to bring people along to get involved in this particular mission project or something like that. You may have more time, if you have it, to serve a week or two on mission somewhere else. Go into another country to give time that way, to be able to serve the Lord that way. There's all kinds of ways that you can sort of jump in both feet, say, hey, Lord, use me. I'm available. You've made me available. That's my gift in life at this time. And whether you keep me that way or not, I'm not gonna worry about that. I'm just gonna serve the way you have me right now. Mm-hmm. And so jump in, serve the Lord just like we'd encourage anybody else to do. You are no different. And so don't. I know people may come across, married people may come across as, like you said earlier, when you're gonna get married, when you're finally gonna tie the knot, when you're finally gonna have somebody in your life. I know that people can be insensitive. Yeah. And let me just say, I don't know that I can do this, but on behalf of married people, let me just say, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry for idiots who want to say things like that. And it's just,
as well intentioned as they are.
Yeah, I know. And we don't think about it sometimes. It's just not helpful. So, forgive those who have made you feel bad about it, and understand what the Scripture says about you. Paul says, hey, look, this is a good thing. This is a good thing, not a bad thing. It's a good thing. If the Lord brings a person into your life, absolutely. It's not a sin to marry. You marry and you serve the Lord together. But if it's not God's will for that, then that's not a sin either. Stay single and serve the Lord.
I love that practical application. I would say as well, if you're currently single in the life of the church, get involved with couples, hang out with senior adults, serve kids. I mean, get the whole spectrum of life in the church, an opportunity where you are as a single, do that. And, because it's going to be a helpful reminder to married couples. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it'll stir up people that your ability to do things and to serve unhindered will provoke, I think, in many ways, people to serve. It would me to see someone unhindered just going all in and, man, just, Lord, thank you, and how can I do that, and some things like that with my station in life. What a blessing. But get invested in the church. Serve, love the church. Love the church and use this season, right? Think about Jesus. He stole away to pray. I mean, he prayed. He was gone praying all the time. Maybe as a single, prayer can become such a fundamental practice of your life because you're not worried about, in some ways, other things that you got to take care of.
That's exactly right.
In a married context. But also maybe lead people to pray in the church and help them understand the process of praying, as Jesus did with many of his disciples.
That's good. Yeah. Well, we got to finish the podcast. Why don't you close us with the final segment and we'll get out of here.
So I think last time we did a Did You Know? Let's do another Did You Know? These are fun. People get interested in this stuff. And sometimes, as you mentioned before, they can be helpful, spiritual, personal, or just absolutely unhelpful. And who cares at the end of the day? I'm going to give us a who cares at the end of the day.
Okay, good.
For Did You Know? But, you and I both love medicine. We love, thinking about medical terms and stuff. Did you know that the human foot has 26 bones in it?
I did know that.
Yeah.
I did.
Did you know that that's a quarter of all the bones in your body or in your feet?
A quarter of all the bones.
Yeah, so 25% of all the bones in your body found in your foot.
Found in your foot.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's a lot, man.
There's a lot. And, people say they break their foot.
Yes.
I wonder what bone that is they break. Because there's a lot of them in there.
The only bones I broke in my body, two bones on the top of my foot. I can't tell you which of the 26 bones that were, but they were right on the top of my foot.
Interesting.
Yep. So, I don't know. I just found it interesting that, right there in the platform of our whole body, the Lord's wisdom to be found in all that infrastructure in the foot. 26 bones.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, what you got?
I like that. All right. I read something this past week. and I thought was really intriguing, and something that I've talked to my son about. As a matter of fact, I just mentioned it to him. But did you know that there are 500,000 computer science jobs open in the U.S. right now?
Wow.
And only in 2015, only 60,000 people graduated with a degree in computer science. 500,000 jobs. Matter of fact, the article that said that there's an estimated 1.4 million computer science jobs that will be available in 2020.
Wow.
Just a few years down the road.
Wow.
This
wow.
is a huge, I mean, we knew it was going to be, right? We knew it was going to be a huge platform to be able to start a career. But I didn't realize there were, I mean,
that's
I guess
a blue really, ocean, man.
Oh, it's huge because there's nobody getting that degree right now. And my son is techie and that kind of stuff, loves that kind of stuff. And, and so I was telling him the other day, man, that's if you think about it, and he's only in eighth grade right now. I'm not trying to push him either way. But he said, look, you're thinking about the future and that kind of stuff. This could be huge
when you
get ready to graduate, a big field out there. Because, I mean, we're living in a computer-driven world, right? I mean, we've all got one in our pocket. So,
right.
I mean, that's the thing. But anyway, that's huge. I didn't really know that.
Well, I think that's fantastic. Yeah, but you know that language, blue ocean, red ocean kind of stuff? Blue ocean is a leadership term. That blue ocean is wide open spaces. Go out and make your way. Red ocean is all the sharks are in there tearing up everything. And there's just, you're not going to make it through that red ocean.
I see.
But the blue ocean sounds like that. I'm going to tell my sons about that.
Did you know too?
Look, a freebie.
That's freebie.
You know what?
Just extra. I love it.
I'm so thankful.
You're so full of all.
Well, I know, man. I'm so thankful our listeners put up with us.
Yeah,
to be honest with
I
you,
know.
And we are grateful that
you.
You
think
take...
people actually listen to the last part of this? Do they cut us off?
You know, I don't know. Maybe we need to poll the
we
audience.
We need to. How many of you listen
just
to
cut
the,
it off
the final segment, or do you cut
yeah,
it off?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe folks that know us or friends with us. You know, interesting. I don't know, but we enjoy this. We give you a little tidbit and. And look, if we don't say it often enough, we want to say it today. Thank you for listening to the Gospel Rain podcast. Thank you for giving us feedback when you do. I know there are many of us that text us from time to time and hit us up on Facebook and Twitter, and we want to thank you for that. And, you know, we're always looking for opportunities to grow the podcast. If you have ideas, something you'd like to hear, something you'd like for us to maybe jump into and kind of make our way through in terms of a topic, hit us up and let us know, because we'd be interested in doing that as well. And for now, we just bid you adieu and thank you. We're praying for you as our listenership. Pray for us as well as we lead our families and lead our churches the best we know how in the Lord. And until next time, we thank you for listening to Gospel Rain.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel Rain podcast. We hope you've been encouraged today, and we pray the gospel will reign in your life this week. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or check out our website at gospelrain.com.